Go Loud.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the snow. Till your body is dead. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Are you in the middle of turning your house into a home? Get down to Roisel Furniture, an Irish family-run spot that are actually sound and won't sell you a sofa that looks like it's Elvis Skip. The house package sales are unreal. Sofas, beds, dining sets, the full works from just €3,649. Plus, they're in Fonthill, Belgard and now Omni Park as well. Open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni. Handy if you're working all day. I got my corner sofa off them and I need the fire brigade to get me up off the thing. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use the promo code GET10 for 10% off. Before we get started, some of you might have noticed that there was an extra episode of Talking Bollocks in the feed this week. It's full of unexpected science facts and is a celebration of Science Week, which is running from November 9th to 16th. I know he's a missing 30, so if you want to hear his voice, you can go and check that one out. Right, ready to rock, Siobhan?
I remember my
I can't see it, so give a thumbs up to Dad and he'll give a thumbs up to me. A second hand thumbs up. Right.
Three thumbs up.
Are we live? Thumbs up. Right, can this we week's episode, I'm joined by...
No, no, count, give it a clean. Three. Right. Everyone shut up and then you go 3, 2, 1, go.
3, 2, 1, go. Dad and Claire, you're telling me how to do my own podcast.
Correct.
I'm doing this nearly 5, yeah?
And someone has to put you right.
Thanks very much. Right, well...
Counting, isn't he? He can count.
Continuing on, continuing on with the theme of getting in guest co-hosts, I'm joined this week by...
Joe McGuckin.
And a Talking Bollocks virgin, as well as a regular virgin.
Oh, that would hurt. Ian Malloy.
So this is what I was doing that, and I'm just going to start going around. Like, we had previous guests, we had a new guest. This, I'm just going to get neighbours in next week. Tracy Bourke's on next weekend.
Nice, Tracy Bourke. The Tracinator, yeah, she'll do well.
So on the scale of, like, tag team partners, you've had your Matt Hardy, who would Ian be? And who would Joe be?
Oh, Joe would be the Hurricane. Do you know your man? Yeah. Do you know what's mad? Ian's a huge wrestling fan. Like, well, Ian's known as a wrestler.
Not anymore.
Ian.
Oh, what?
No. No, Ian Malloy. Ian,
I get your back for that
Ian.
Now. Just remember. No, right. I liked wrestling back in the day a bit too much. That's all. Right. Did not all like wrestling back in the day.
A bit
no?
too much. He used to put his brother through breadboards.
No, I was put through the breadboards. I was more the Mick Foley kind. So I was jumping off of things and like going through things. But yeah, a few trips to the hospital.
So basically what I was saying is because Terrence is away, I'm like Matt Hardy. And remember you tried to get like a load of new tag team partners
yes.
till Jeff came back. Mm-hmm. So who are yous?
Oh, I'd be probably Terry Funk. Do you remember Terry Funk? That's a deep dive. He was more hardcore than Mick Foley.
Terry Funk was?
Yeah.
There's no one more hardcore than Mick Foley.
Watch Terry Funk stuff.
Mick Foley's in the Laughter Lounge in December. Might get him in. Imagine 1 week we come in and Mick Foley was my actual tag team partner. You couldn't get Terrence back in hell. Mick Foley's at the main in hell. Carl
I
Housen.
Couldn't. Yeah, I'd put on my pants for that. That sounds good.
The Rock and Sock and Bollocks connection.
Yeah. But imagine Mick Foley was on the podcast. Like, what do you even do? Like, just sit here and Mick... You piss in the shower. Like, what do you even say to him? Like,
I bet he does. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Not even by choice. Just comes out accidentally, yeah. Like, you know.
Years
I just
CTE.
Don't have the power anymore. I can't hold it in.
That's what happens when you get fucked off 44 cages.
Hell in a cell.
Darden Cleary is the man behind the camera this week as well, Darden. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We were just saying, I sent Ian the address, right, Joe? So, literally, Marconi House Diggs Lane, Dublin 2. Sends back, that's up by Smithfield, yeah. And I was like, Dublin 2, Ian. So, tell us, how'd you get that mistake?
When I search something on Google that I'm going to go to, I just go with a picture.
What do you mean, just the picture?
So when I see the picture, I'm like, oh, I know where that is. I don't go in any further. I don't look for directions. I'm like, I know where that is. I can get there. It looks like the place in Smithfield behind the Jemison Brewery.
The Generator Hostel?
No.
Do you know what he is? He's a fucking taxi driver is what he is. That's taxi driver vibes.
It's taxi driver logic maybe, yeah.
He was still here before you, Joe.
Oh, well,
he lives in town.
Do you know the funny thing about was, Joe? When you Google anything and it comes up all the details, so it's actually a button that says directions. You press that and it'll bring you right to that location.
I'm not into
and you were like, no, look at the pictures and go off that. Like, you know what I mean?
Hitting start is like cheating. That's the cheating.
But then we led on to another conversation about people that used to do deliveries back... Even 15 years ago. 2010 would have been a horrible time to do deliveries.
Yeah.
I would have Google Maps though.
In 2010?
Not everyone would have.
No, it would have been TomToms.
Google Earth. There would have been... Sat-navs existed.
Yeah.
Sat-navs.
TomToms.
Not the lad doing deliveries for the Fraga. Like,
yeah, so this is what I was saying. My sister used to do deliveries for the Fraga, and I done them one night. And like, if you got a delivery in East Wall, which is literally 10 minutes up the road, you're bollocks. Like Caledon Road, where the fuck is that?
Mm. Explain the Fraga.
I used to live on Caledon Road.
The Fraga. You used to live on Caledon Road? It's the only place in East Wall I know. Caledon Road and Church Road.
Oh, you lived on both of them?
I know Church Road.
I lived on both of them.
But like, Church Road is a given. It's the road that the church is on. You know, there's only one church. The Fraga is the Fragan River. Most overrated curry shop in all of the EU.
You agree with that? I agree with that statement. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
the curry sauce is the best you'll get.
Joe agree with a controversial statement.
Wouldn't me like him.
Shocking turn of events.
But yeah, how the fuck would you find anywhere? Like, you'd show up at the gaff 40 minutes after the order, which I think is a decent time, and you'd be like, "Oh, I ordered that ages ago," and you're like, "Me, 2008, will you give me a break?" Like,
it was physical maps though, because I know a delivery driver, and do you remember you used to have the books? And each different page would be a different part of the country. There was a fella who ripped out one of the pages for the area, and he was like, if it was outside that little grid, then he wouldn't deliver there. So that was how they decided, no, that's too far. Where are you getting the delivery to? Dublin Tree or Fairview or something. Say, no, we don't deliver there. But it's only down the fucking road.
And literally only around the corner. Mm. But there used to be a good business in people robbing sat-navs out of cars. Remember like the bleeding little square thing you'd get, and you have to plug into your radio and all? Like, they were worth a fortune back in the day.
Well, they were very expensive.
A good business.
It was good business. No one used to rob radios. Everyone used to rob the sat-navs.
You did rob radios. That's why you used to take the face off your radio.
Yeah, but then no one was buying them, Darden. You know what I mean? It was a dying industry. It was obsolete, like.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Radio robbing.
Do we have any questions?
We always have questions.
Do we?
Yeah.
So this is what we're just going to do, listener questions. Basically, this is going to be an extended bonus episode, Joe.
Right,
but feel free to go off on a tangent. I actually have one.
I have a tangent first.
Let's go.
Oh, shit.
Joe, could you update us on your feud with Nasty?
You're in a feud with Nasty.
Whoa, fucking straight in there. Straight in there. No kissing. Well, I don't know. There's not much more to update. Apparently, Nasty has turned to God now as well, so it's hard to compete with that.
Christianity and Spice Spikes.
Yeah, how did this start?
The John McGuckin story.
So I started Ireland's very first spice bag trailer last year.
Yeah.
Launched, I think, at the live show that we done last year. And it was a big deal. I think I remember it being a big deal. And it was successful and stuff like that. But
you did all the big concerts around Croke Park and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Coldplay was a success for you?
Oh, big, big success, yeah. If you were to do a few of them, you'd make a lot of money. And
sorry, Joe,
I just
want to interrupt you here, because I remember listening to your podcast and you tried to say that you could make 20 grand a week profit, and I was like, that means you'd make over £1 million a year in profit. Why isn't everyone doing this? So I just wanted to call you out on them figures and say that that's not true.
I made close to 20 grand at the Coldplay concert.
Profit?
No, not pure profit.
Big difference. Words matter, Joe.
But you could, if you went down to Electric Picnic, you'd make easily 20 grand in a weekend.
Listen to this. Do you know how much it costs to get into Electric Picnic?
About 20 grand.
They take about 15%, between 15 and 30% off your profit.
There's a company that works directly with Dublin City Council that runs all the events around DNIC. You know, the ones that they'd be in Mountjoy Square and all.
And
you'll see the same food stand, you see whatever, the crepes, and you'll see like a taco van or something. And if you're at one of these Dublin City Council events for a weekend where it's busy and it's flat out, you're making 20 grand. Definitely making 20 grand.
What's it cost you to get the license?
To get the license?
As in the permit to be at the event?
For Coldplay, it was like 350 a day.
Right.
To be parked up. And you're not guaranteed where you're going to be parked up each day. So you have to move every fucking day, which is a load of bollocks. Everyone around, you're just kind of swapping places with people.
Why do you have to move? Like, what have you just said? Oh, I can't move.
Oh, we got into trouble with the guards. We were somewhere that the council sent us a map and pinpointed exactly where we were to park. And then the guards came up to us and were like, you can't park here. You have to move it. Like, get out of here. And was like threatening to arrest the fella that was walking on the like, it was crazy. It was fucking crazy. And he says, if I'll come back here in a half an hour and you're still here, you're all getting nicked. All of us. We're all getting arrested.
Yeah, well, imagine the content, Joe. We should have went through it.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been a great story to tell.
We just schmoozed them all. We said, right, calm down, right? I know you're angry and I know you're very busy.
Would you bribe an officer with a spice bag?
A few spice bags. A few spice bags.
Look, back to the nasty thing. What happened?
So anyway, yeah, we started the food truck.
I don't know what's going on here.
But then we brought the food truck to a charity football match, and that was one of the first gigs that I ever done with the food truck. And he was at it, eating one of my spice bags.
Right?
And he was like, oh, it's fucking lovely. You should do this, you should do that, you should tweak it. And I'm like, no. It's perfect the way it is. And then I see out of nowhere, he posted one video where he said, if Manchester United lose, I'm going to open Ireland's first spice bag truck. And I was like, this prick, what's he doing? But maybe it's just a gag or something like that. Mm. But then, a couple of weeks later, he put out a video saying, dream come true, everything that I ever wanted, I'm after opening Ireland's first spice bag truck. And I'm like, no, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's
so Joe McGuckin got out the video editor tool on his laptop, made a video and pulled up all the receipts. He was like Steven Spielberg. There he was.
It was like a call out video, but a really, really good, really, really polite call out video.
You had the receipts.
It was just so easy. It was just like laying the receipts on the table and saying, here, look.
And did he respond?
He didn't respond. He liked some of the posts or some of the responses comments and stuff, yeah, like that.
Were people giving him shit under his post then saying that John McGuckin got there first?
I don't know. He blocked me. So I can't.
That escalated.
Yeah.
But then Nasty blocked you. Hate a bragger. Yeah. Hate a bragger. What, well for some. Well for some.
Yeah, that's me badge of honour. I got blocked by Nasty. But then he tried to call me as well the next day and I missed his calls, and then I tried to call him back and he missed my calls, and then he sent me a text message saying, I just wanted to see if you were genuinely upset. And I'm like, you fucking ripped me idea off. Like,
Darden, as someone who's familiar with the law in Ireland, could he do him?
Yes, I could, yes.
You can.
Is it not defamation if he's... Because Joe was like, I have the very first spice bag truck in Ireland. That was his whole USP spiel. Like,
it's demonstrably
unique selling point.
Yeah.
I know business.
There you go.
So that was Joe's whole fucking opening line. This the force of its kind. And then he comes in and he's like, no, this is the force of its kind.
It's false advertising, force and form.
So can we send him a cease and desist letter?
I thought Joe, the first time I heard this, I said, you know what? Joe's had to realise this is too complicated. He sold the trailer to Nasty. So Nasty's bought the whole thing. It is still the first spice bag truck in Ireland, but it's just owned by Nasty. I couldn't believe it, Joe.
Isn't it shocking?
Yeah, shocked, but you're not surprised. Let's be real here.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
So what do you want to do about it, Joe?
I think I'm going to let him crash and burn himself. It's a hard business to do. And I think the idea that he has where he's, I'm going to go to every county in Ireland and I'm going to... No, you're not. First of all, you're going to need to get permits for all of these places. Second of all, you're at the pissing off a lot of fucking people. So,
Joe, his missus. Two kids. Joe's brother.
The fellow who parks the spice bag truck.
I seen a good one the other day, right? So fuck Joe and fuck Nasty and his little bleeding spice bag beef.
Chicken.
Whatever, it's right. So I heard a good one, Darden. And you know who Joey Chestnut is?
Yes, hot dog eating man.
Yeah. He has the record for like all the records for eating hot dogs, yeah? But the record he has for eating one hot dog is 1.2 seconds, right? So him and Usain Bolt are doing a 100 metre race. But before you can start the race, you have to eat a hot dog. So two of them are on the start line, hot dog each. You have to finish a hot dog before you start running. Who wins the race?
Hot dog.
What's
man.
This fella like?
I'd so imagine he's a heavy set fellow.
Not as heavy set as you think, someone who competitively eats hot dogs and is very good at it.
Has to be Usain Bolt.
But the thing is, you have to remember, he swallows them. Yeah, he's going to need
a hole in his belly.
So he's going to need four bites.
He's doing it at 1.2.
So this
is the thing. You have the metrics for how quick Bolt can run and how quick he can eat a hot dog.
Do you know how long does it take Usain Bolt to run 500 metres?
No, it's 100 metres.
100 metres?
Yeah, it's like 9.8.
Under 10.
9.6 or something it is, wherever. But it's going to take him that to run it, and it's going to take your man 1.2 seconds to eat it.
It's got to be Usain Bolt. Yeah.
Do you ever see how he eats the hot dogs, though?
Just swallow it.
No, he dips them in water and makes them all like...
soggy?
Yeah, and then just swallows it. Whole. Doesn't chew.
Good Lord.
Jesus. It's horrific looking.
Deep-throating hot dogs.
Yeah.
So we're still putting money on Bolt, are we?
No, I'm hot dog guy.
I wouldn't agree.
Bolt will. He's an athlete. He's a professional. He'll do his research now.
20 seconds to eat a hot dog, I'd say.
Yeah, Bolt will eat a hot dog in 10 seconds.
Do you have the... Oh, sorry, wait. Is it just the bit of meat or is it the actual...
No, it's a whole dog and buns. Yeah.
Ooh.
The Frankfurt and the buns.
I didn't know that.
But does Joey Chestnut get to dip it or does he have to eat like a normal man?
Like a normal human.
What are the rules here? Right, what's the... like?
The rules are you have to eat a hot dog before you start running. And you can't start running until it's all gone. So how long is it going to take Bolt to eat a hot dog? What a predicament to be in. Do you remember, like, we done this a few weeks ago, myself and 30, yeah? And it was in an Ironman, who'd win? Kipchoge, who has the marathon record, Michael Phelps, or whoever the fucking best cyclist is, I can't remember. Like, them three are in an Ironman, who's winning? You know what I mean? And we were going through it, basically weighing up, well, it'll take Phelps this long to do the swim, and it'll take Kipchoge this long to do the run. We're actually comparing a competitive eater with the fellow who has the world record in sprinting here.
Yeah, but if he's that quick, I'm starting to think now.
How long would you reckon it takes a man to do 100 metres?
15 seconds.
Him?
No.
The size
he's not doing that 15 seconds.
Alright, 20 seconds. 40 to 100 metres.
Joe, it doesn't look like he can run.
He's a big fella, Joe.
He'd walk in 30, 100 metres.
He wouldn't walk in 30.
End of the street,
like, he wouldn't walk
for
in 30.
For a quick go on something.
If you were running 5 minute kilometre pace, yeah, that's 100 metres in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but that's a jog. If you were to sprint, if you were
no,
doing 100
so
metres,
I'm saying, you said you'd walk 100 metres in 30 seconds.
You wouldn't.
I'm talking about, have you ran a 5 minute kilometre pace?
5 minute kilometre pace? I don't know. Yeah, no, I have.
That's like a 25 minute 5K.
Yeah.
So you know how quick you'd have to move for that. That pace is 100 metres every 30 seconds.
I just don't think Usain Bolt could. I think it would take too long to swallow a whole hot dog.
He's not going to swallow. Usain will chew. He's a chewer.
Yeah. How long is he taking to eat it, Darden?
I don't think he gets it done less than 20.
Really?
No. He doesn't eat it in 20. No. Yeah. I
a minute?
Agree
no.
With you.
He's not taking a minute.
He's doing 30 seconds.
You're doing it.
He's racing.
In a rush. You're going to put the effort in. You're going to gobble it down. Like, you know, 20 seconds, I'd agree there. But yeah, I'd reckon Usain Bolt. I'd still have to go up and say Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
He's an athlete. He's a pro. He's class.
See, the thing is, you know, he...
Your mum's not doing that in a second, right? Okay, let's imagine this. So we're talking 100 metres is like from...
Here to the door.
The top of Pawner Road down to the Five Lamps. That's about 100 metres, yeah?
No, it's longer.
That's longer?
Much longer.
Well, then the Shoe Gaff. Pawner Road to the Shoe Gaff. Let's say that about at the sunset and your man swallows his hot dog in a second. So he's already running, man.
Joe's, it's about from the sunset to...
Well, I'm switching my answer now. I think it's the hot dog fella.
Hot dog guy, yeah.
If he eats them that fast, then yeah.
Hot dog guy he's gone. Would eat a hot dog and run 100 metres before Usain Bolt even finished the hot dog.
That's a bold statement.
I don't agree.
Right, so we're back in the Joey Chestnut fella, yeah?
Yeah, all
right. Right, well, that's it now. I've nothing else to say. So thanks for coming in, lads. really appreciate it. Just a little more.
Got questions. You've been made king of the roads with full undisputed dominion over every highway and byway of this country. What rules are you changing, and what infractions, no matter how small, that annoy you, are you punished with straight imprisonment now? Matt in Smithfield.
You can use the bus lane. Everyone can use it. I hate this whole shite of like, oh, only buses and taxis. You see taxi men? Taxi men think they own the road. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They'd be making faces at you for being in the bus lane. And then when you're driving behind them and they just stop in the middle of the road and let someone out or pick someone up. Like me, you're going to cause an accident down there. Mm. I don't give a bollocks how much fucking road tax you're paying. Oh, this is where you make a living. You fucking kill someone one day the way they carry on. Mm. You know what I mean? And then they're like judging you for being in the bus lane. Mind your own fucking business, you dope. So you're allowed to use the bus lane.
The only thing missing from that rant was the neck.
The neck.
No, and if anyone...
Who the fuck you think
see
you
me,
are?
You beeping at me in your taxi.
You haven't a clue what I'm going through in my life. If you don't flash your hazards and say thanks, 3 years.
3 years.
3 years. There's nothing more frustrating than when you let someone out and they don't say thanks. Like me, no one else lets you out. I let you out and you're that ungrateful. Just a little flash of the hazards. Two flashes, I know what you meant. Go ahead.
I get too panicked. See, like, I'm like, there's too much going on. You're already indicating, you're turning, you're trying not to hit there. You're hoping that they're understanding you behind you. And then you're out, you're like, fuck. And then you're looking for the hazards and everything. I'm like, oh, no, just no.
Did you just say you're hoping you're looking in your mirrors?
I don't know what I was saying, but it's just panic stations all over the
you
place.
You sound like a fellow who shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car, John.
I'd rather not be. That's why I come in a bleeding scooter.
I'd say you're the most obnoxious man on the road on that scooter.
Why?
You just, I can't imagine that you obey the rules of the road on your scooter.
There is no, it's chaos out there. There is no rules of the road. Especially, you know that junction at Connolly, where the bus artist is?
Yeah.
With the fire in the middle?
Yeah.
That, man, I don't know what the hell is going on there. Like, two lanes turn into just like a wide berth free-for-all. It's like Bangladesh or something. Like, it's crazy.
Do you know that ball of fire?
Yeah.
When that's lit, everyone in the joy is awake, and when it's gone out, they're all asleep.
It's lit all the time.
It's not, promise you.
That's not true.
Promise you.
That's, what's the reasoning behind this?
No idea. Someone said it to me years ago, and if you go down when it's late, it's lights out in the joy. Promise you.
Are you sure the two are connected, or is it just a
Siobhan,
coincidence?
Siobhan, can you please verify that? Siobhan doesn't even know what I'm talking about. It's like a chain link ball with a flame in the middle at the Custom House.
Do you know who I saw the other day? Do you know the one who used to be in the middle of O'Connell Street?
Mad Mary.
The who are in the sewer.
Yeah, she's up beside Collins Barracks.
Yeah, she's up there now. Yeah. I spoke about that before. No. I had a nightmare that she grabbed me before.
Oh, really?
No way. Yeah, a nightmare that, like, and you couldn't
the statue?
Her Yeah, because she used to be on the Bladen, on the middle of O'Connell Street.
Yeah, she was scary.
And then someone sent me a picture of her. She was up at Bladen Collins Barracks. I was like, fuck's sake.
That's I think that's a deadly sculpture.
Sleeping paralysis.
It's scary. I don't know, they changed it now. Yeah, like it's just sitting kind of like that.
On its own, it's not in the bath.
Yeah, they used to have a basin.
They used to call it the floozy and the jacuzzi.
Yeah, the hoover and the sewer.
But it used to be like there was a fountain behind it, so it looked like she was leaning up against water. But now she's just like doing a plank.
Yeah. it's weird with no water, isn't it?
She's doing Bladen Plata is in the middle of Collins Park.
Joe, we probably shouldn't be surprised that you got knocked off your scooter because you don't think there's any rules of the road.
Well, sorry, you got knocked down, Joe?
Man, I was in the hospital.
That's embarrassing, mate.
No, it was embarrassing. What happened? Humiliating. I was on that 90 million euro cycleway going down the North Strand.
Sorry, can I interrupt you?
Yeah, it's your podcast.
Owen Brennan gets really annoyed when I talk about that because he gave me some statistic that like X amount of people were getting knocked down there, and I broke it down. I was like, Owen, that's like two people an hour were getting knocked down on that road.
It was Joe getting knocked down every hour.
Getting back up. up and getting back up.
Joe, what happened?
What happened, Joe?
Absolutely disgraceful.
You put all that money in to stop people getting knocked down, Joe goes straight out and gets smacked by
And I'm not the only one. I know a few people that have been knocked down on it. So what happened to me was, so if you're in a car and you want to go into one of the side streets,
you have to go over like a footpath, go through the cycle lane and go over another footpath.
So I was down at the Ansley and I was cycling, and this woman, she had to cut across a bus lane, and then she had to get up on a path and then cut across the path and come. Like, I was on the cycleway then, and then I went right into the side of her because she just turned right across all of the traffic. Like, it was just wild. It was like a terrorist attack when someone just gets up on the path and drives.
Did you go over the car?
I went onto the car and then I went onto the ground.
Jesus
Christ. I was going at full speed.
That's what I was going to say. You must have been doing some speed.
Were on the bike or the scooter?
On the scooter.
And what happened? Did she get out and like, was she... panicked?
She wouldn't roll her window down around, and I was like, you stupid fucking agey, you're supposed to be looking where you're going. I was angry.
Of course, you probably got a big fucking adrenaline rush.
I was shocked. And then once I got back on my scooter and I went up, I got to about hillbillies, and then I started shaking and I was like, oh fuck, like the adrenaline dumped down me and my hands started haunting me, and I was like, fuck, I'm at the Bladen, and my hips as well, I had bruises all along my Bladen hips and everything. Jesus. I was fucked. And I didn't break.
I didn't break.
I wish I did.
And come here, like, did you knock her out and see you're alright, and was there not like a load of people checking on you and all?
No, I wish there was. There were cyclists behind me, and then they just went around me.
They're so
like,
mean.
No one gives a fuck about
they're
you.
The worst people in the world.
It's getting, like New York.
It's getting worse in Dublin now. Nobody cares. You see people collapsing and stuff like that. And 10, people 15 years ago, people would have stopped straight away to help them, get an ambulance, wherever. But now, I've seen people step over people. Like,
do you know what? Another thing, it's right underneath all these trees. It's autumn now. And the leaves are falling and turning into sludge on the cycle track.
Slipping
all over the shop.
And you were out of hell.
Joe, have you ever been outside of Dublin?
Yes, that's disgusting as well. Talk about sludge.
You two boys actually know each other very well.
Me and Joe do, yeah.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
We were in a relationship together there for a while.
It ended badly, but...
Tag team partners.
These two boys used to do sketches together.
Yeah, sure. When I done Fintan McCormick, you were in one
I was in the Fintan McCormick ones, yeah. I was Paddy. This fella used to always piss off. They were gas.
One of the best ones is when you're out campaigning and is it Enya Martin that's in it?
Yeah,
and she fucks the tea over the balcony. But all the old ones say, they fuck the tea over the balcony, and you come up and say, who fucked that tea over the balcony?
Oh, one going in.
It
was him.
I didn't leave. She's on her own.
Fucking Belva.
I fucking told you last time. I'm like, I'm sorry.
You've done like a good few of them actually together, haven't you?
One of my favourite jokes in any sketch that I've done was, I think it was one of your lines, man. It was a COVID one. You remember you couldn't go inside? There was, if you didn't have a vaccine, you couldn't go inside. And I was outside looking in the window because whatever.
Yeah,
I was,
he didn't have vaccinated.
It was called the new normal. The fucking new normal. So we were all just kind of spitballing ideas. What was it?
Was it Darren Conway falling off the chair?
But you came up with the line, does anyone else smell toast?
Yeah, that was it. And he just hits the deck. Because he was saying, what will I say?
Before
he fall, I said, say, can anyone else smell toast? He says, why? I goes, because apparently right before you have a stroke, you smell toast. You get the smell of like burning toast in your nose. And it's a lot of people's like lying right before they say, or right before they collapse from their stroke. So he said that and he hit the deck. We had to put the chairs underneath him and all. So we didn't hear his head. We got we got twisted that day as well. Your man kept bringing the points out, feeding them, and then even your man was saying, no, that won't look right.
It was in the bridge, wasn't it?
It was in the bridge.
Was it actual lockdown?
Yeah.
We were just starting to come out of it. Like, it was It was getting a bit.
But we were socially distant. Don't worry, Darren. We were all socially distant.
We were socially
vaccinated
distant.
And all. Yeah. It was all above board. There was food there. we all had soup.
Yeah. Chicken nuggets.
Ian does his own sketches now, and I always say to Ian about because like, you know every fucking. What would you say? Not comedians. You know people who do like the online sketches now?
Mm.
Do you just class yourselves as comedians? What do you call yourself there, Joe?
I'd call myself a sketch artist.
Yeah.
I like that because that makes it sound bad. I don't know what it is. You know?
What would you call it, Joe? Because like, that's exactly what you are.
Sketch creator, sketch writer, comedian, I don't know. A writer, I don't know.
All the people who do them sketches anyways, they've all done their own version of like the Irish mammy. And it's like, oh, now come on in, I feed you and all. But Ian does like the Dublin mammy.
Mm.
The Dublin ma.
Yeah,
and every time you put up a video about the Dublin Ma, I send it into my family WhatsApp group and I was like, it's mad that Ian Malloy grew up in the same house as us because like it's a carbon copy of my Ma. You know what I mean? The most you'll have the most nonchalant, quiet, peaceful day and you'd say one thing to your Ma and just all hell breaks loose.
Oh shit.
Yeah, oh, it's fucking my favourite one is about you come in and ask for dinner and the Ma hits the roof. Yeah. She snaps and like she's giving you all sorts of abuse.
Ian, yeah. Give us a whirl of it, come on.
My favourite was that she was screaming when the umfla is like asking, can his mate stay? He's like, well, Ma, I already told him he can stay, you know, and like you can hear the umfla can hear them, you know what I mean? And he's like, you know, real awkward. But my favourite one in that was, I'm gonna fucking kill myself, right? Just at the top of my lungs screaming. I had to knock into Adele and tell her it was all right because she heard me screaming.
My neighbour
had to knock into her and tell her it was all right, but that's my favourite one because. Like, God love me, Ma. My Ma's great, but like, when she goes off on one, she goes off on one. And she said our famous line, and we give our stick to this day about it, right? Someone said something about a coffin, and she was going mad, and she went, well, I'm in a coffin in here, right? I put it in one of the videos. And to this day, she says she never said it, right? But everybody knows she fucking said it. And we still give our stick over it. But
what did she think of the video?
She helped me with one. So she was getting. Like,
she held the camera.
She realised it was about her.
She was throwing Tupperware boxes at me. She fucking didn't miss one. They all three of them hit me in the eye, and she was like, "Do we need to do that again?" And it's like, "No, it's all right." But she loves them. Yeah, she doesn't care. She likes it.
But that one about the dinner, right? She's like, "What the fuck do you think I am? Poxy Dism? Mummy has lifted a fucking finger for me. I'm up since the crack of dawn." And then she storms off out and comes back in and goes, do you want spaghetti?
But that's true. That's the way they go on. Like,
that's exactly how my Ma is.
They lift your elbow. They say all sorts of things and then just turn around, you know.
As if it didn't happen.
Do you want that? Yeah, like nothing happened. Like, we'll just move on from it now. And you'd be sitting there traumatised. You know what I mean? I'd get a dressing down. Like, well, oh, I don't know. But one thing I'm finding about it now is people are like, did we live the same childhood?
Yeah.
So it is a common thing. Like, it's more common than I thought.
I always show that to my board. And anytime you put them up, I'd be crying, laughing, and sending them into the family group, yeah? And she doesn't find it funny. And I'm like, that's exactly how my Ma goes on. And she always says to me, I didn't grow up like that. All your family shout at each other. And I'm like,
yeah.
But like, it's normal. Like, I'd often go in and we'd have a shout match, but like, not even a shout match. It'd be like, oh, what do you think it is? And we'd be like, yeah, and that. And we're just loud. Whereas, like, whole family's just like, shouting. How are you? Yeah. And, like, oh, are you getting the garden done and all? And I'm like, you're so mad. Like,
yeah, I'm getting the garden done. I got a fella's going to do it for $3,000.
Yeah, that's what we're like, fuck off, $3,000. No way. Did you see she got it done for cheap? No way. Fuck that. And all. She's like, he's all just shouting at each other.
When you started in this building, we used to get regular emails from other teams saying, can you make them start later? Because they're just disruptive. not anything you said. It was just your general presence around the place.
That's all my report cards used to say in school. Disrupts the whole class. Yeah. I'd be like, well, I'm just talking. Talking to me, mate.
It's a loud way about
class,
you.
Man. In the middle of class.
Right, Joe, you're going to be Joey at 8 and you're going to come into the gaff and you're looking for Joey 50 euro eight. For a school tour.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
50
Christ.
Euro for the fucking school tour.
You're going somewhere real nice.
That's the
you're going to Butlins.
That's the reaction you get. 50 euro, do you think I made a fucking money?
Let him
do it. I had a. Does it. With my short film. Did you see my short film? Hometown?
No, you never sent it to me.
I'm in that.
You're in that. You're in the short film, yeah. Hometown. But there's a scene in it where the young flit is saying to the man, he's like, Ma, can I have 10 euro to do judo after school? Mm. And she's like, 10 euro, me bollocks. I'm not paying someone 10 euro to clatter the head off. Yeah, like. And it's like so true. Like, I felt like when I was a kid, I just wanted to do judo, but it's like, no, I'm not giving you fucking money to do that. Like,
yeah.
Wherever it is, they'll find an excuse not to do it. So, what's it? 50 euro to do.
So, Ian's going to be his Dublin Ma, right. And you're going to be his annoying son.
Okay.
Scene.
Ma.
What?
Everyone in school, they're all going to...
Will you spit it out?
They're going to Mosny on Friday.
Mosny?
For the weekend.
For what?
For just to... It's a holiday for all
you
the...
You were there 3 years ago. Was that not enough?
But all my mates and all are gone and...
You haven't got any mates!
I do, man. The people that are in my class, we're all friends. We all hang out after school.
Wait, what is it? What is it? It's we're watching just, Coronation Street.
Sorry, it's 50 euro. It's 50 euro.
What?
Just only 50 euro. And then the food and everything is included.
What? 50 euro? What do you think I am? What do you think your dad is?
Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
We don't sell drugs.
Did I always throw in something like mad, like, do you think I'm a brazzer? What are you talking about?
I think I'm fucking made of money.
Mad shit coming out, you know what I mean?
I think I'm selling me arse.
Mad shit.
You see me up on fucking Ben Bourne Street.
And you're A, and be like, what are you on about? Like, you know, it's going over your head completely. Like.
Sorry, man, I just want to have a childhood.
And no matter what time you grew up at in the morning, they always grew up before you as well. Yeah. Like, I had to grow up at 7 for school. I grew up at 6 o'clock this morning.
I used to do increments, so if she'd be given out at a certain point of the day, like 2 or 3 o'clock, she'd say she was up at 6. Then she'd be given out later on in the day and she'd say she was up at 5. And that timeline would constantly shift, you know, earlier. Oh.
And it's like, no one give me a fucking hand, this poxy gaff, never get on top of it, I'm sick of it and all.
Then if you do, you haven't done it right. Leave it.
Yeah, I'll leave it, yeah. I know. I can't definitely saw it right.
I have another question.
Shower of fucking wankers.
Beltons.
I'm going to fucking pub.
Yeah.
Is there any dinner and then they just lead Jamar going to the pub?
Yeah.
Jamar ever just ring a hell yeah and then just rant? I'm like, you ask me how I was and then you just get it off your chest.
We'll ring and tell you who's dead.
All the time.
Yeah, did you hear this person's sick?
You don't even know who that person is. And I don't even know that. And then Chester gave you the family tree of that person. Yeah.
So you asked the person.
Do you know the Malloys? Yeah. Well, their granddad, his brother, their uncle used to go out with this girl and it's her nephew. And I'm like, man, I have no idea who that is. Like, you lured me in by saying the Malloys. I know them. But like, then you move through 3 or 4 families.
They know so many people.
Town is like the mafia. There's only 5 families. There is. Ian, you are one of them. There's thousands of yous.
There's a lot of us.
There's thousands of Malloys.
Yeah. Too many.
There's a good few O'Briens.
Yeah, there's a good few O'Briens as well.
Not a lot of McGuckins.
No.
I only know your McGuckins.
Yeah.
You're playing your part, Joe. You're pumping them out.
Yeah. I'm trying. Well, the McGuckins.
Yeah.
I only have 2.
So far. But 2 younglets. Yeah. You're carrying the name on there.
True.
You know what I mean?
The lineage. Yeah.
It used to be poxy growing up if you didn't have a big family because you're getting threatened with brothers and cousins and all. Oh, your mates.
You'd say so.
Did you ever fancy someone and then find out it was your cousin?
No, but.
Lawyer. Fucking lawyer.
Not forced. I know all my forced cousins, but like.
Yeah.
I found out someone was my cousin damn fancy though.
Forbidden.
I just say it to, like, cause me ma is just like, yeah, see, oh, that's your cousin. And like, how? And it's like, again, their granddads were brothers. Yeah. I was like, no, man, that's too far. Their 4th or 5th cousin. That's all right.
Like.
I always joke that I got with a board from Wexford just to remove the possibility of them ever being related to me. You know what I mean?
And even still, you can't be sure.
You can't be sure. That's not true. With my ma. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, my brother had a babe. Not, well, he didn't. His missus did there. It was the christening the weekend. And my ma, like, the 2 families are mingling together. My ma's going through it all. And I just turned to my brother and goes, give it 30 more minutes. You two are going to be related about him and his board. You know what I mean? Because my ma's going through the family tree.
Yeah,
like,
walk everything out. Yeah. No more of them jelly tots.
Yeah, you can.
Darren Clary brought in a bag of jellies. This is going to be deducted out of my invoices now at the end of the month.
Correct.
Sorry about that.
Remember time I took you for lunch and then I...
And you made me paper?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
The company brings them for dinners, but they don't bring me or Darren for dinners.
Why?
Don't know. You'll have to ask the company. And do you know what? He promised me. He promised me one time that he'd bring me to a steak restaurant.
Give us a few more of them jellies. We went for that dinner, John. Do you know what happened? The waiter come over and told Eamon. No, do you know Eamon?
Maybe don't name.
I name Eamon Sound. I won't name the restaurant. But Eamon's from Cork. Yeah.
Name the restaurant. Beep it out.
I don't even know the name of the restaurant. It was the Jamie Oliver one. Down there. Beep it out. Anyways.
Definitely beep it out. Actually, no, we paid full price for it.
Yeah. Leave it in. Be honest with the people. It was shite. But Eamon's from Cork. He's one of the top dogs now. You know, people from Cork, they love to talk. So he's there chatting away with Evan. The waiter comes over and he's reading to me what's on the menu. And he turns around, taps Eamon on the shoulder and goes, can you be quiet? And continues reading the specials.
Who?
The waiter
says to
goes, can you be quiet?
Jesus Christ.
I'd get straight up and walk out.
I was going to walk out and then I was like, no, they're fucking
we couldn't because Terence had been 20 minutes late because he left his iron on. So we had the CEO and the head of commercial sitting at the table waiting for Terence to come. When we got here, they made the joke, what were you ironing your tracksuit?
Oh my and he was. It's the truth.
If you anything needs behind it, it's a tracksuit.
You know Kay?
Yeah, yeah.
He sent her over to his gap to make sure the iron wasn't on. He gave her the key. Gave her the key and she faced on them. And he goes, yeah, it's in there, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not on right ground.
While this dinner was happening?
He was late today, dinner.
This is rock star level fucking shit, man.
That's cool. I like
Joe, I'll bring you for dinner, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He make you paper. He brought me for dinner, genuinely. Do you know when he brought us
Legge?
He brought us for dinner on the day one of the live shows.
Pinhead's Pizza.
Yeah, brought us for dinner. And we were like, oh, nice one, Darden, yeah. If you get the invoice, it was deducted from the fee.
You stingy bastard.
So technically, I brought him for dinner. So this is what you're dealing with.
Not got for dinner with you, anyway.
Yeah.
Any more questions, Darden?
Yeah, they'll get you in the end.
So you've been offered a chance to go on Joe Rogan's podcast. Great stuff, you think, but you get word back that he's going to try and take the absolute mick out of you, and he's going to tell the world your most embarrassing story. Knowing that, do you still go on for the resulting exposure, or would it be worth it? And what is the most embarrassing story you have that Joe Rogan will be telling?
That's a fucking trick question, isn't it? Because you're going to fucking out yourself here.
That's like, haha, did you ever murder anybody? You know what I mean?
I think fucking everyone knows my embarrassing stories. I have no shame. There's nothing Joe Rogan can expose that.
John McGuckin drove a scooter into a car.
On purpose.
And shouted at the poor woman.
Humiliate. Fucking humiliate.
Joe, what's your most embarrassing story?
I don't know.
You lost a feud to Nasty.
I didn't lose a few. You lost. Who defines losing a few?
It's ongoing.
Well, he's got a spice bag truck and you don't.
I do have a spice bag truck.
Would you not just find out where he's going and then just go on the same day? Park up alongside him.
Maybe that'd be pretty funny.
That's not a bad show, Joe.
Yeah. I'd watch that now.
I'd go to it.
You'll see
and I'd support you.
Yeah.
You'd charge us for spice bags, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Would Nasty charge us?
You charged me for spice bags.
Yeah, well, charge you won't double. Charge.
You have charged me. You're going after.
Nasty wouldn't charge us.
For free.
Nasty wouldn't charge us.
He might after this podcast.
I'm going with Nasty now.
Too many people know Nasty. He'd be giving out too many free spice bags. He'd go broke real quick.
So he's gone on Joe Rogan, and what's your embarrassing story that he's going to tell the world?
I think. What's a fucking embarrassing
story? I have a bad one. I have a bad one from a few years back. I was in, do you remember the fire station, Foss?
Yeah.
I was in there.
On Amy Tree.
That shares the space with an art studio, and people used to come out of the art studio covered head to toe in paint, like no word of a lie. They'd be doing all sorts of art, all sorts of mad stuff. And I think it was 19 or something. And we shared the smoking area, so I was sitting there one day, and this girl walks out, and half of her face was covered in paint. I said, "Oh, you missed a bit of paint," and she went, "It's a birthmark," and I went, oh no, I'm so sorry.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, I start flapping, but you see, you have to understand, they always were covered in paint. They were doing things like where they'd put a blank wall and cover someone in paint and they'd run at the wall and hit it. They were doing all expressive art or whatever it is, so they used to be covered in paint.
What sort of Foss course was that?
No, the art college was separate from the Foss, or not like college, it was like a studio, yeah. So that's why I thought it was paint. I wasn't being like a prick about it. Like I wasn't just walking up to this girl, but she was actually really nice about it. But I was at that going bright red. I was like that shaking, panicking, going, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And like everyone was there as well. It wasn't just me and her. All the lads were standing there. You're an arse. So I was like, I didn't mean it like that. It wasn't supposed to come out like that. I thought it was paint. I kept saying that. I thought it was paint. But I didn't like that at all. It was a pretty rough one. And I'm telling it now because it's embarrassing me. Because I deserve it. You know, I deserve it.
You're owning it.
I deserve that embarrassment. Okay. I will tell that story again.
Was she cool with it in the end? When
she was very cool with it. She kind of done it to fuck with me anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she knew they were always covered in paint. Like, then again, there is the possibility that it was paint.
Oh, no,
and she just had me
on. She's fucking you over. Do you know what was embarrassing? And I only spoke about it a few weeks ago with Shane Todd. That chicken nugget attempt at the live show.
I knew it would be though.
Yeah, I completely underestimated that, didn't I?
You overestimated yourself.
Yeah.
Chicken nugget thing, yeah.
What did you do?
Tried to break the world record for how many chicken nuggets you could eat in a minute. I put three in my mouth and the thing just expanded. My mouth was like cardboard. You know, if that was a video and you were to upload that, I would just cut that. I wish people could cut that out of life. Like, you know what I mean? As if,
really?
Like, delete that.
Was it that bad?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you know what? In the flow of everything, I was like, I'd be happy if this didn't go ahead. But then I went ahead. And then I knew within like 20 seconds, I was like, cut this. But like, with 40 seconds left. And like, Lord and Carter, I'm standing over the table eating them. Lord and Carter's lying on the floor with the camera right up underneath me. And
just,
I was like,
stop the clock.
Yeah, just stop the clock. Just move on. Get Will out to sing or something. Like, you know what I mean? This is fucking embarrassing.
I know the feeling.
But that was bad. Yeah, that was bad. So yeah, that's
you need embarrassment every now and again. You need it to
feel.
Yeah, you bring you back down to earth.
But in humidity.
Yeah, you need it.
Remember, I done a live show, and one of the first live shows I done a parody in Vicar Street. Yeah, I done a parody of Stan, and it was a love letter to the Unabomber.
That was brilliant.
Jesus, it was good. But then the second show that we done, Owen had an idea that I should do another song, but the song would be, I'm trying to think of what the song is, but it's...
It was a love letter to a serial killer.
No, it was your man who shot JFK.
JFK, yeah. It was a
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald, yes.
Yes. Mm. But the song was really high pitched because it's...
I'm in the corner watching you. Yeah, it was. I'm on the fifth floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
But that's a really... She goes really high at the end of that. So I wasn't sure how you started the song, because if you start a high, then you end up fucking yourself later on in the song, because
you're going really high, I'm in the corner.
And that's exactly what fucking happened. And I was like, bollocks. And I was all over the fucking shop.
And you didn't know the words.
A disaster. Well,
and you wrote the words.
I think I panicked as well. It was like, as soon as I hit the wrong note, I was like, oh, I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh, fuck. But I think it was all right. It was okay in the end. But like, when you're up there, when you're in the moment, you just want to say what you said there. Delete that, will you?
Just get me out.
Let's all forget that.
Delete that.
You wish it was like in your phone. Do you know, you scroll through a video, you took me like, yeah, get that out of my phone. That, and it's just delete. Gone then. You wish that's what's happening to you. But
and when you wake up the next morning from being on the piss or something, you know that you've done something stupid. The fear. It's like the fear.
Yeah, the fear. Yeah, but like, you're getting it in real time and sober. When we done Maniac at the last live show, I didn't know you could hear us. And everyone's like, you can hear you clearly in that. And I was like, oh, it's just going on with the words. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, fuck.
I was at a funeral a few years ago. My mate's dad died, and I was the first one.
I know the story.
I was the first one.
This is a great story. And sorry, Dad, for cutting across you. You told us the story years ago, and you were like, I'll never say that in public again. You may as well get on the podcast.
We're all sharing. So I arrived early, and it was that kind of awkward small talk with people. And I was talking to his cousin, and you know that, oh, sure, I'd be get a great send off tomorrow for Ronnie, and it'll be lovely for Mota, and sure, then there'll be a few pints in the pub afterwards. That'll be nice. Will you have a pint? Oh, no, I'm off the pints. I haven't drank since before Christmas, and sometime September, October. Oh, geez, that's brilliant. What's your secret? And she goes, I had a brain aneurysm. And I just blanked. I didn't know where to go or what to say. And it was only 2 or 3 seconds elapsed, but it felt like 2 or 3 minutes. And I was like, I better say something. Just say anything. And I was like, I'd prefer a pint myself. And
oh, what the fuck, Darren?
She just looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And I looked at me thinking, what's wrong with you? And there's nowhere to go after that.
It's a good joke, though.
Yeah,
it wasn't a joke,
someone.
Joe. I didn't do it on purpose. It's just I had to say something.
This, I was in town getting clothes for that christening. So this is the day before the christening, and it was like 6:30. So town, like, everything was closing at 7. So I was in a rush, and I was flying through wherever, blah blah blah. And I was coming down the escalator. I had my earphones in, and I seen a fella. I was coming down the escalator. He was at the bottom, and he stared at me. And as we pass, he nods. But I don't know for what reason, I just decided halfway down that escalator, this is P.T. Carroll, who's an MMA journalist, right? I've met him before, yeah? And for some reason in my head, I was like, that's him. And he looked at me, and when he nodded, I goes, P.T., what's happening, pal? Because I'm here, and I screamed as well. I was like, P.T., what's happening, pal? I gave him the thumbs up. Got back around to my car, yeah? Not realising, he does a podcast every Friday at 6 o'clock till 7, live. So that wasn't him.
Some poor fella now. Just
oh my
thinking.
God.
So like, when I got to the car, I was like, hello darkness, my old friend. In the driver's seat, me and this fella's had to share in this moment. So I had to go on to somebody. So I granted another mate of mine who knows Pete. I was like, hey, I'm at to send hello to some fella I thought was Pete Carroll, not realising he's live on YouTube now. I'm literally looking at him on my phone doing his own podcast, you know what I mean? That's another thing to beat the embarrassment. Like, if something happens to you, if you kind of openly admit to it, be like, oh, I fucked up, I'm an idiot, I think that helps.
Yeah,
like I pissed the bed before, and Okay. With me board in the bed. I woke up, I pissed the bed, and
how
she was
are
like,
you telling
God,
this on your podcast?
And I rang people. I rang people straight away. You can never live without that happening. I'm at the piss in the bed. Yeah. But it completely diffused the whole situation because she was going to tell everybody and make a joke out of me.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when we're around all our mates, she can't say, ha, he pissed the bed. You'd be like, yeah, no, he rang me earlier.
But why are you telling everyone else you pissed the bed?
M&M day, your rabbit day. You
have to own it.
Everybody, what age were you? 28 and a half.
This was genuinely, this was only about like 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. Do you ever have a dream when you're like you're obviously bursting and you're standing over the toilet and you're pissing in real life?
That happened to me. No, I've caught myself. I've realised it.
Yeah.
And then,
She woke me up, she's like, you're pissing the bed. I was like, I know. And I ran in, went to the toilet and I came back out and I was like, bollocks. So you're cleaning everything, you're getting changed and all. And then once that was done, I just rang the lads. I rang around and I sent them voice messages to people. I was like, I'm at the pissing in the bed.
4 o'clock in the morning. How are you? Hope you're keeping well. I just wanted to let you know I pissed the bed there.
It was about 8. You have to get ahead of it.
Ready,
you
heard
it from me. You have to get ahead of it.
Run towards it.
Because like, imagine then, I don't know, we go up to me ma's and she tells everyone in me ma's I'm at the pissing in the bed. And then we go out that night and we're out with our mates and she's telling all the mates that I'm at the pissing in the bed. You're like, fuck's sake, don't tell them. You know what I mean?
But then it looks worse, yeah.
You get there ahead of them, you know what I mean?
Right, we've time for one more question then Siobhan says we're out of here. Would you rather €50 every time you make someone laugh or €1,000 every time you make someone cry?
I had to go with the 1,000. You have to.
Why?
Does cry laughing count?
Well, you probably would have earned 1,000 from this podcast with the amount we've laughed.
I'd say a few people cried.
That's
as well.
20 laughs you need.
Yeah. There's definitely been 20 laughs. I mean, you pissed the bed a minute ago. Good few people laughing at that.
I'd say so, yeah.
Should Joe crashed into a car.
True. What if you made someone cry laughing?
Nah,
do you get
count.
Both?
No.
What were you going to say, Ian?
How many people just say listen to his podcast?
A lot.
A lot.
So if you make all them laugh.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
You get. But he gets.
No, I think it has made them all cry.
I think it has to be one on one. I don't think it can be like a
on the
mass distribution thing.
It can't be okay.
But what if you made them all cry?
It's a bit biological weapon, isn't it?
Well, what if you went into like a maternity ward and turned on the lights and all the babies woke up and they all start crying?
Here's the point.
That was because of you, so you'd get all the money.
That's good thinking.
He's a fucking genius.
I think logically, just
maternity ward's
going around battering kids for a bunch of
traumatizing kids.
Fucking cry.
I said turn the lights on. You know, that's all.
Joe, you've been there a few times. Are the lights on the maternity ward? I wouldn't imagine they're in dark.
It's not like what it is in the American films where they all line up and they're looking at him like, that's my one, where's your one? I've never seen an aunt like that in the rotunda.
Mm. It'd be like in the NICU, it's kind of like that.
But in the American films, it's like standard.
Yeah,
like
a
car park full of kids just parked up there.
And like the parents are looking through a pane glass with like a one-way mirror or something.
Yeah, they're like, that's my one there. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is
this? Go in and hold the fucking thing then.
Yeah, like, why is that? Why do y'all put on display like that, actually? That's a weird one.
It is weird.
That is odd. I'd be minding my niece, right, and she's, one and a bit, and, you know, she'll pick something up off the ground that could potentially harm her. I'll take that off her, and she'll cry. Do I get £1,000 then? I'm technically made her cry.
Doesn't specify whether they're upset crying or rationally crying, so.
And there's no age, there's no age bracket.
For a baby to be crying because you took a bottle of bleeding Heineken off her.
Mm. Yeah, but, like, they may not actually be upset. They might just be...
Well, if you gave the bottle back to them, they'd stop crying.
They're crying because of what I did.
Yeah, they are upset, aren't they?
Now, what I did was life-saving, but, you know.
It's not my question. I don't really care.
I just think Ian Malloy's had to bring the whole new dynamic of thinking to this podcast.
Ian, you're really, really giving a lot of thought to this. There's no money. We're not going to give you anything.
What?
You can make
hell.
Okay. I have a question.
Anyone you want cry. There's not a penny to be earned.
Do you think you could make yourself cry on cue like an actor?
I can, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I'm not going to do it now, no.
What do you mean?
I had to sit down and do it.
Everyone shush. To end the podcast today, Ian's just going to cry.
No, I'm not going to do it. I can't. I have to get into it. I have to, like, you know.
We give you time, Ian. We're not leaving until you do it.
I've got to stick some headphones
Come on, Ian. You know you can. No, you can't do it. You could never do it. You're never going to do anything. You're a fucking waster. You're a waste of space. Get out of your mask off. Stop asking about fucking dinner and doing sketches about her.
It's going to make me cry.
He's going to wake up and piss to bed tonight.
No, I won't be able to do it. Now, I'm in too much of a good mood. I have to, like, sit there and... Because I won't show you... I don't think I can find it, but I'd done an audition for something where I had to didn't have to cry, but it was like I was being a bit angry and aggressive, and we're in that. There was tears in my eyes, and I was like, I remember saying it in my head, just do it, just go with it, you know, just it's fine. And I was like, oh, I can do this now on cue if I need to, like, for any of the acting stuff that I do, but no, I can't do it now. Like, it's
do you think you could do it if you needed to? If, like, Spielberg came to you and said, Calvin, you're perfect for the job. The only thing is, we need you to cry on cue with real tears. And, sure, and it could. Needs to be believable.
You just have to stick your finger in your eye to the water.
I'm literally trying to get tears out of it. That's why I'm looking away. I'm literally trying now. I'm trying.
Just don't
I'm thinking
blink.
Of the saddest things that's ever happened to me. And pissed I'm trying.
It's getting glassy. It's getting glassy. Oh, it is.
I don't think I could get tears where they run down my face, but I'll get glassy. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be in the headspace.
Do you know what
yeah,
I was thinking of there? Do you know what I was thinking of there, right? My auntie died during COVID. Yeah. So, like, we had to go through one of them fucking COVID funerals where there was about, no exaggeration, there was a. The wake was in my ma's gaff. There was 100 people in my ma's kitchen. Easily 100 people, right? And the priest came in, blah, blah, blah. And the next day was the funeral. There was only 20 people allowed in the church. And I was like, this is mad. There was about 500 people outside the church. There was a party going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that was grand. Whole funeral song was Leona Lewis Run. It's the cover of, is it a?
Snow Patrol.
Yeah. And I never knew it was a Snow Patrol song, right? The week later, I bought a brand new car and I had to get down the country and collect it, and I was fucking buzzing and I was baiting home on the motorway, me boys in the passenger seat, and I was baiting home, yeah, and that song starts and she was like, oh, like, change the song. I was like, why? She goes, that's like the Snow Patrol version. I was like, no, you head case, this is bleeding grand, I didn't really know that song. And I'm booting it down the motorway, bawling crying. Yeah, I was like, this is the best day of my life, bawling crying. Do you know what I was like? Tommy Tiernan and Father Ted when he's on the back of the bus. That's what it was like. I was baiting down the motorway, this is legal. And it's like, oh, and then I really have to go. Ugh. Light up, and I'm bawling crying.
Okay, you know, the Adam Sandler one when he's on the boat. Oh, nippy nice. He's in tears.
That's what happened.
Take us out.
Right, so that's it for this week. Keep sending your messages in. Keep sending recommendations in on who you want. I've plenty of neighbours who we could bring in here. We've plenty of former guests or new people. Let us know who you want. We're open. These are recommendations and these are questions. Send them to talkingbollocks@goloudnow.com. That's it. Take us out, Siobhan. Give us a boom, darling.
Go loud.
You post. Give us a boom. Give us a boom.
I do boom.
Yep.
Boom.
Before we go, we just wanted to give a shout out to Roy Style Furniture for supporting the podcast. Is your gaff overdue some TLC? Sort it all at once with Roy Style Furniture. They've got proper quality stuff. Sofas, beds, dining sets, and the house package is unreal. And you're supporting an Irish family-run business that actually knows what they're talking about. Plus, they're in Fonthill, Belgarde, and now Omni Park as well. Open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni, so there's no excuse. Get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use the promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Cut down.